For the first time in months, people across England can enjoy a pint they didn't pour themselves. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. England has lifted many of its coronavirus restrictions today that began last December. Today, non-essential shops reopen, restaurants and pubs can serve customers outside, domestic vacations can resume, and haircuts are once again allowed. The latter is welcome news for Nicola Smith, who owns several salons across central England.
We're fully booked until the beginning of June, and we've also had our phone lines open. So yeah, we've got our clients banging the door down, can't wait for us to open.
There's clearly palpable optimism here from both business owners and their customers. So can we expect a spending binge from the reopening? Katie Martin, markets editor at the Financial Times, has been digging into the numbers.
Because fun has been cancelled for the best part of a year, we've amassed really quite a lot of money in our bank accounts. So there's about £180 billion extra in money that's just sitting in bank accounts that wasn't there before the COVID crisis.
For our US listeners, that's about $250 million.
That's a large chunk of the economy. It's equivalent to about a tenth of the size of the entire economy. So the big question now is what we do with all that money. And the honest answer is nobody knows.
And that's the thing. I mean, from where I sit, I haven't been out of London in months. And so it might be nice to go sit at a restaurant. But you found there's a lot of disagreement among economists about whether we'll save it or spend it.
Yes. So the thing is, there's no model for this. We haven't done this before. You know, the nearest equivalent that economists can look at is to look at the experience of wartime. But this is different because the economy has been shut down for completely different reasons. And we've got the internet. We've still been able to spend money here and there if we wanted to. It's just certain types of spending that have been constrained. Now, generally speaking, people normally spend about 5 to 10% of whatever they've saved up in any sort of windfall over the next year. But there's a strong case that we could spend a lot more than that this time around, that people could just be so relieved, frankly, to be able to go and get a haircut and see some friends for dinner and all that stuff, that we could really splash the cash. On the other hand, there's only so many times you can get your haircut. And there's only so many times that you eat out. So whilst we might spend an awful lot more than that, there's also really solid arguments why we might not. And the other thing that's a complicating factor here is typically the people in society who are most likely to spend extra money that comes into their accounts are not the wealthier people on the scale, right? It's lower income households that are most sensitive to getting extra bits of cash. Wealthier households, it doesn't make as much of a difference. And actually, it's the wealthier households that have amassed more wealth over the past year. So that just means that it is pure guesswork at this point, what happens with all of this money.
And I think that uncertainty part of the puzzle is an interesting question, too, because last summer, when we found ourselves in a similar situation here, the government unleashed an Eat Out to Help Out program to encourage people to dine out. It subsidized meals. Now there's not a program like that, but we do have a vaccine program that's well underway. So do you think that could act as some sort of encouragement in getting people feeling comfortable going out again?
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I mean, people are really pointing at that Eat Out to Help Out period as something that gives us a potential clue as to what might happen next, because Brits just loved it. This time around, everyone knows that they've got vaccines in their arm. At least people of a certain age like me know they've got a vaccine in their arm, at least one. And that does give you that bit more confidence. The question is whether this is a kind of, you know, roaring 20s redux and we spend years and years just spending like it's going out of fashion, or whether we just spend a month or two, maybe 3 months in this summer of fun, splash a bit of cash around and then get back to normal.
Indeed, the economics of this one, certainly an interesting one to watch. Katie Martin, markets editor at the Financial Times. Thanks for your time this morning.
No, you're welcome.
Checking the numbers now, India's benchmark stock index dropped more than 3% today after figures showed the country overtook Brazil as the second worst hit nation by the pandemic. Elsewhere, Alibaba shares jumped 9% in Hong Kong after the company updated investors on a record $2.8 billion penalty imposed by China's anti-monopoly regulator. The BBC's Karishma Viswani has more on that.
Alibaba executives sought to reassure investors that they're playing ball with the regulators. They're going to make it cheaper for businesses to sell on their platform and not force them to pick and choose between platforms. It may also be heaving a sigh of relief The penalty it's paying is a record fine, but for Alibaba, which has a huge war chest, it's a drop in the ocean. But there will be more oversight and scrutiny of it and other firms.
Karishma Vaswani there. A year without culture is how demonstrators in France are describing the last year of the pandemic. Nearly 100 theaters there have been occupied by protesters calling on the government to do more to support artists. From Paris, the BBC's Lucy Williamson has that story.
When your message is as unsexy as the calculation of unemployment benefits, it helps to have a nation of adoring fans.
I'm here just to support all my friends artists that suffer a lot during this sad period.
Out with the protest against benefit reform in Paris, we found Gregory Montel, star of the Netflix series Call My Agent.
I think that there's a place to open our theatre. There's a way to open our cinema and to keep going in a good direction. They mustn't break everything.
Protesters say the changes will mean lower daily unemployment payments for artists, actors and musicians at a time when cultural venues are closed and they're unable to work. The result is a new national protest movement to occupy France's theatres.
This is where we are doing our daily AG, Assemblée Générale.
The Odeon Theatre in Paris has been home to around 50 protesters for a month now. Its foyer, a meeting space hung with huge banners. Its 19th century statues dressed in fluorescent yellow vests in homage to the movement that blocked Macron's reforms 2 years ago. But with one shower between them, schedules matter here as much as slogans.
We feel that it's government choices to put people in trains, in metros, and they decided to close all the sociability places. There's a lot of hunger in the culture sector because there's no sanitary reason.
Baptiste Chevalier Duflot is a sound engineer when he's not managing a theatre occupation. The movement has now spread to 90 theatres across France. In Poitiers, performers from the Tap Theatre demonstrate each week with protest songs from the Paris Commune, as well as those written for the current crisis. The feelings of anger and inequality here stretch far beyond France's theatres, and the new movement is starting to link up with other, more established protest groups. The Yellow Vests may have left the headlines, but a handful still protest each week in towns like Poitiers. Now, as in other places, they've started to join their support to the theatre protest. We've kept the flame alive, Mohamed told me. We're waiting for the time it'll catch fire again.
That's Lucy Williamson reporting from across France there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.